I want to ask you to turn to Romans chapter 8, and we are going to go over some ground that's already been plowed. But first you plow the ground, then you work the ground, then you seed the ground, then you harvest the ground. So we're going to look at some ground that we've been over. And last Sunday morning, we were in Jefferson City. I will just tell you that. We listened to Concord. We did what some of you backsliding people are doing right now. We watched it on what do you call those little machines? That little MyPad thing. And we watched it there. It's what my granddaughter calls it, the MyPad. So we watched on the MyPad. Then we went to church at First Baptist Church of Elston, neighborhood we live in. And you say, why didn't you come to Concord? Because I couldn't. I just couldn't. I needed to be out there. I needed to go there. And because if we come here, then it's not what you you don't vacate anything if you come here. So we did that. And so we got to go to church two times on Sunday morning. I listened to Brother John as he went over this very same territory we're going to cover this morning. But I want to look at a different way. I want to talk to you about hope. Hope. And I'm going to define hope this morning as patiently waiting for what is sure to happen. Say that with me. Patiently waiting for what is sure to happen. Patiently waiting for what is sure to happen. I want you to look with me at verses 24 and 25 of Romans chapter 8 and the verses that are surrounding that. The Bible says, for we are saved by hope. Now, a lot of folks will say, now, preacher, we're not saved by hope. And if you say that, then it probably means your definition of hope is more like, this is what I want to happen. This is what I desire to happen. But there's a difference in the way that we use hope in our normal way that we talk and the way that we express things. We may hope for certain things. You may say, well, I hope I win the lottery. Well, I hope you don't, because you'd be in big trouble if you did. But you say, well, I hope for this, or I hope for that, or I hope if I ask her out, she'll go with me, or if I hope if I ask him, he'll go with me, or whatever the expectation might be. Your idea is that there's a desire. I hope for a better job. I hope that I get a raise. I hope that I get a promotion. I hope that I pass chemistry. Hoping I pass chemistry never got it done for me. So we have this idea. We have these words. We have this word hope. And the Bible says in verse 24, for we are saved by hope. And so you're saying, well, it's not desire. Desire would be like, well, I desire to get saved. I don't want to go to hell when I die, so I'm saved by hope. But no, he's talking about a real expectation, something that you know. It's not just hope so, think so, maybe so. It's a real expectation of something you know is going to happen. It's the earnest expectation, patiently waiting for what is sure to happen. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. We come to this thing of patiently waiting for what is sure to happen. And surrounding these two verses we look at this morning, there are some other very, very important verses. I want you to look this morning and see if, as we read this scripture, beginning back up here at verse 19, if there are not four things that jump out at you that are things that we expect to happen. These things that are a part of our hope are a real thing. They are real things that are going to happen. Let's see if we can identify them as we read these verses that surround the two that we just read. For the earnest, like at verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestations of the sons of God, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now, he's talking about creation. So what is the one of the things that we are expecting to see happen based upon what God's Word says? We're expecting to see a brand new world come, that this earth that we live in, this whole of creation that we know about, is held captive because of our fall, because of our sin. And so we can talk about recreating the universe or trying to clean up the planet or trying to save it from global warming or whatever. The Bible says there is a day coming when there really will be a brand new heaven and a brand new earth. But that's not all. I want you to look a little bit further. He says, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Now here's the second thing he's talking about. He's talking about a day when Jesus Christ returns. This is a part of our hope. This is a part of our expectation that Jesus Christ is going to come again. So we've got the liberation of this planet, and then we've got the return of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus comes again, what does the Bible say is going to happen? These bodies are going to be transformed and changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. See, my hope is not just that the planet's going to get better. My hope is not just that Jesus is going to return. But my hope is that I'm going to get a brand new body. And don't you look at me and say, yeah, you need one. But my hope is that I'm going to get a brand new body. The Bible tells us that that's going to happen. So that's just a part of our hope. And then the final thing that I'm hoping for and looking for that comes out of these texts is that I'm going to be like Jesus. Look down with me in verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And all folks, it's going to get exciting in days ahead as we dig into these verses. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. You say, Brother Monty, what is your earnest expectation? I believe the day is coming that I'm going to be like Jesus, that he's going to transform me into the image of his Son. So let's just talk about this thing this morning. I don't know what you're hoping for, what you're looking forward to, but the Word of God lays out these four things, and hope is an earnest expectation. I read about a little boy that was in a department store and standing at the bottom of an escalator. As he's standing there, he's been standing there for a while, and the clerk that was nearest the escalator got concerned about him because he's just standing there staring at the escalator. And if you stand at the bottom of an escalator, and by the way, we were in an airport, I think we were in Atlanta, and we almost tried to go up the down one, and it would have taken, we'd probably missed our flight if we'd have done that. He's standing there looking at this thing, and the clerk walked to him and said, son, are you lost? He said, no, I'm just waiting for my chewing gum to come back around. Now that's hope. That's hope. That's an expectation of something he's convinced is going to happen. When Nathan was a senior in high school, he had a bad case of senioritis. You know what I'm talking about? If you've ever had a senior in your house, you know probably what I'm talking about. He had a bad case of senioritis. You got one in your family, Chris? Yeah, right there. Sorry, Carter. So Hannah was 10 years behind Nathan, so she'd been in about second grade. And walked into her bedroom, and she's got this, she's made a paper chain that goes from the ceiling down, and it was a paper chain of when Nathan was leaving to go to college. And every day she would tear off a link, tear off another link, tear off another link. That was patiently waiting for what is sure to happen. And it finally did happen. But now I'll tell you folks, the Word of God says that we're to live with a hope, an expectation of something good. It's not that we're going to stand up here and sing this morning, although we very well could. Something good is going to happen to you. Because I do know this much. For those of us who know Jesus Christ, our Savior, something good is going to happen to us. And all of creation is tied in with that. The liberation of the planet. Now look at these verses, and it says that the planet is having birth pains right now. It is waiting to be delivered. Years ago, Mama Cass Elliott, who was with the Mamas and the Papas. Can I get a word of witness? And Mama Cass Elliott sang, there's a new world coming, and it's just around the bend. There's a new world coming. This one's coming to an end. Well, I don't think she had a clue what she was singing about. She's more focused on selling records and getting new muumuus to wear, I guess, in her performance. But I don't know that she had a clue about it. But the truth is that there is a new world coming. And the Bible says in Revelation chapter 21, verses verses 1 and 2. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven, the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I find it interesting that even though the book of Revelation talks about a new heaven and a new earth, there's more discussion about a new heaven and a new earth in the Old Testament than there is in the New Testament. That's very interesting to me. You read Isaiah chapter 65, and it tells about a day when the wolf and the lamb are going to lie down together. That doesn't happen in this life. I heard about a zoo where they had a lamb and a wolf in the same cage, and somebody said, well, this is like, this is like the millennium. How in the world does that happen? I didn't know that they could be taught to coexist. They said, oh, they don't coexist. Well, how do you do that? We put a new lamb in every day. In this life, that doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. But the Bible says that day is coming. The lamb and wolf will lie down together. We're not going to get old. How about that? There's not going to be any more aging. There's not going to be any more disease. The Bible talked about a day coming. What we're talking about is the hope for the liberation of this planet. Not only the hope for the liberation of this planet, but the hope for the revelation of Jesus Christ. We're patiently waiting for something that is sure to happen. And now I've been hearing this all my life. And those who came before me were hearing it all their life. And so sometimes in the midst of this, and you honestly, if you read church history, you see that there have been theological shifts through the years, different points of emphasis, and some believing one way and some believing the other about the coming of Jesus Christ. Doesn't take away from the fact that what God's Word said in Acts chapter 1, an angel said to those that were standing there on the Mount of Olives as Jesus Christ left. As they stood there, he went up and a cloud received him from their sight. And an angel appeared before them and said, you men of Galilee, why do you stand here gazing into the heavens? This same Jesus that you've seen go into heaven will come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. And how did Jesus go? Well, he went up. How's he going to come? He's going to come down. How did he go? He went up in the clouds. How's he going to come? He's going to come in the clouds. How did he go? Everyone stood there and saw him go up. How's he going to come? Every eye shall see him. This is our hope, folks. The coming of Jesus Christ in this world is going to straighten so many things out. And so I check the news on a Sunday morning. Not only is the focus in Houston, where we're talking about the liberation of the planet and a new world where there's not going to be any more hurricanes, but the focus is on North Korea, where there's a madman on the loose. And now they're saying that he may have developed, he is claiming at least to not have just a bomb, he's claiming to have an H-bomb, which is so much stronger than an atomic weapon. And so we think about all of these things that are going to happen, and you say, how is there any hope in the midst of all of that? Well, there is hope in this. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is coming again, and he is. He is. All the signs are pointing that direction. All the scriptures are pointing that direction. And in this life, our hope is not in this life. We sang it this morning. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Our hope is not in this life. Our expectation, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19 says, if in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. My hope is not tied up exclusively in this world. Certainly I have some expectation in this world, but my hope is not tied up exclusively in this world. It rests in Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, or those that have died, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. My loved ones go into the grave. Their bodies decay. They corrupt. Our bodies corrupt. But praise God, based upon what His Word says, I have hope that there is going to be a day when those graves are going to burst open. And my loved ones are going to have a brand new body. Praise the Lord, they'll have a brand new life. And if the Lord has not come before then to catch away His bride, if not already been caught up in the rapture, I'm looking for a day when I'm going to be caught up in the resurrection with a resurrected body. That's my hope. That's my earnest expectation of something that is sure to happen. And we don't know when it's going to happen. But don't give up on expecting it to happen. You ever ordered something from a catalog or Amazon Prime, and you said, it's coming. Well, nowadays, they just track it. And so you know it's coming to the door. It's coming today. It's going to show up. Maybe even while you're at church, you've ordered something, and it's coming. Didn't used to be that way. And so when I was a kid, they were on a Kellogg's or General Mills or whatever box. You collected box tops. Amen? So you collect a box, and you ordered stuff. And you saved your money to order stuff, and then you'd send it in. I mean, you know, if you had enough box tops, it was free with $5 shipping and handling or whatever. So they were ordering. They were advertising that you could get enough box tops, and you could order a Buntline special. That same gun that Wyatt Earp carried. And so I wanted a Wyatt Earp. Yeah, I mean, kids used to be able to order these things. So I don't know that they told me that the Buntline special shot rubber bands, but it did. And so I ordered one of them. So we ordered it with the box tops, and Mom, I'm sure, kicked in money, and we ordered this thing. And after I ordered it the next day, I went to the mailbox. Mr. Bob Jones was our mailman, and one of the things about Bob was he's a very faithful church-going man, but he wasn't known necessarily for that. He had a pet skunk he led around on a leash, and I knew him for that. Not everybody. I think, actually, he's the only person I've ever known in my life had a pet skunk. So he led this thing around on a leash, and now it had been de-scented, you know. So, but it was quite a fascinating thing. Bob was a good man. So I'd go down to the mailbox and had to walk down a lane to get to the mailbox. And finally one day, Mr. Bob said, "Monty, don't come to the mailbox. Don't wait at the mailbox. When it comes, I'll bring it all the way to the house." So I waited until finally my Buntline special arrived and I could shoot my sister with rubber bands. That was the idea. But you have to wait. We are waiting for the coming of the Lord. We don't know when it's going to happen, but we know it is going to happen. Missionary Greg Fisher, who taught in West Africa Bible College, one day a student asked him what Jesus would shout when he returned, for the Bible says he's going to come with a shout. And Fisher thought about all the grief and suffering, and finally he said, "Enough." He's going to shout, "Enough." Jesus coming again, that's my hope. I'm hoping in the liberation of the planet. I'm hoping in Jesus coming again. I'm hoping in the redemption of my body. The Bible tells me in verse 23, "And not only they, but ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." We're going to have this new body. There's going to be a transformation. There's going to be a change. The first fruits of our salvation that the Bible talks about is the work of the Holy Spirit within us. And every good thing that the Holy Spirit does in us, every time when we sense something supernatural in our hearts, every time we know that what we did was what God wanted us to do and God was working through us, all of these things are just a foretaste of what it's going to be like when this whole body is redeemed and we are taken into the presence of the Lord. Now we live in a corrupting body, but someday we will have a glorified body. Now I know the certainty of salvation, but the Bible still says, "I see through a glass darkly." I'm just looking through a dirty window, but someday I will see him face to face. I read about a guy that when he died, he had loved fireworks all of his life and actually worked in a fireworks factory for a while, and he asked that his body be cremated and put into a fireworks shell and shot into the heavens. So, in July 1994, he died. His former boss, Mary McAvitt, at Independence Professional Fireworks Shop in Michigan, rolled up his ashes in a 12-inch round fireworks shell. On Friday, August 12th, at a convention of firework technicians near Pittsburgh, they shot that shell in the sky. It trailed two silvery comet tails as it ascended into the night sky, and it exploded in red and green stars. And if you want to go out in glory, that's one way to do it. I don't know who wrote this little article about it, but they concluded it this way. But that's nothing compared to the glory that God intends for the bodies of those who believe in Jesus. The glory of our resurrection bodies will far surpass that 4-second arc of light and color. Instead of a cannon report, there will be the awesome blare of the trumpet of God and the majestic voice of Jesus calling our bodies from the grave. In glorious resurrection bodies like that of Jesus Christ himself, we will ascend into the clouds and meet the King of Kings, whose brightness is like the lightning shining from the east to the west forever and ever. Jesus said we will shine like the sun in the kingdom of our God, and that's the kind of blaze of glory I want to go out in. So I'm hoping for this planet to get straightened out, and I'm hoping for Jesus to come again. I'm hoping for the resurrection of the body, but I'm hoping also for the transformation into his image. The Bible says in Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, and who that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. I'm looking for that glorification. That's my hope. That's my hope. Not just my desire, but it's my hope. It's a certainty of the promise of God that I'm going to be made in the image of Jesus Christ. And what is God's ultimate purpose in my life? What's God's ultimate purpose in your life? The psalmist said in Psalm 17:15, I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. What do we want? What do we desire? But what is our hope? Our hope is to be like Jesus. The Bible gives me a promise in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, that he that hath begun a good work in me will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. There's a process at work. And all things that take place in my life, we're going to talk about this again in a couple weeks, because I'm going to talk to you about it's too soon to tell what God is upset, what God is up to in your life. But there's a process at work, a process of chiseling and cutting and squeezing and shaping and molding and making, and all of it is described in Romans chapter 8. It says in the King James, all things work together for good to those who love God. But what it really says is God takes all things and works them together for those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. What is his ultimate purpose? Is that we be like Jesus. And I may not get there in this life. But when I look at that string of like 5 links in a chain that are mentioned in 28, 29, and 30, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, and whom he did predestinate, them he called, whom he called, them he also justified, whom he justified, them he also glorified. That 5th link in the chain is the glorification, and I will be like him. And that's what I'm expecting to happen. I want to ask you this morning to bow your head with us. Do you have any hope? Is there any hope in your life this morning? You say, well, I know that, yeah, I've seen this, and I just know that the day's going to come when we're going to die, and it's dust thou art, to dust thou shalt return, and that's going to be it. No, dear friend, that's not going to be it. That's not going to be it. That's not going to be the final story. Those who know Jesus Christ, we're looking at a day when this planet gets straightened out. Jesus is coming again. Our old bodies are going to be changed, and we should be like him. That is our earnest expectation. Is that your hope? Today, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, today, if you've not been saved, it's important that you come to know Jesus, to trust him. He calls you to come to him. And the whole focus of your life can be changed when Jesus comes into your life. Maybe God has said to you this morning, you need to be obedient to me and follow me in baptism. That's an important part of growing in your walk with the Lord. We encourage you to do that. Or maybe He said to you, you need a church home, and He's pointing you this direction. Let us encourage you in your hope. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word that reminds us that we have hope. Hope and faith coupled together. The certainty, what we certainly expect to happen. And we thank you, Lord, that all of that is in your hands and you're in control. Bless the people of this congregation this morning and those that might be listening. Work in their lives today, we pray. Give us hope in Jesus, for it's in His name we pray. Amen.